Are you, like pretty much every parent of younger kids I know, looking for a smart entertainment option for your kids? Designed for kids ages 6 and up, Mysteries About True Histories, also known as Math, How Smart Is That?, is a weekly podcast full of time travel, puzzles, hidden equations, history, and humor. Every episode follows two best friends, Max and Molly, who work together to solve riddles and math equations during their time traveling adventures. The series explores themes such as the stories behind math, critical thinking, code breaking, pattern solving, and more, all weaving humor in with education to make learning fun. Episodes drop every Thursday and are about 15 minutes, a great length for transition times during the day or a bedtime treat. Tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome to the Edit Your Life podcast. I'm Christine Coe.
And I'm Asha Dornfest, and we're here to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome.
We share practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection.
And we believe that baby steps are the key to getting there.
Good morning, Asha. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing this morning?
Life has been a little crazy, but it's all good. And I'm excited about our conversation today for a couple of reasons. One, our small comforts episode from a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago. Wow, that like really hit a nerve with people, and in a good way. And it was really awesome to hear what people were kind of leaning into. And one of those things was books. We're talking about books today. And also because, you know, we've done some media and entertainment episodes in the past, but never really focused exclusively on books, I think, other than cookbooks. Mm-hmm. So this will be fun.
Yeah. No, I was so heartened by the response to our small comforts episode. And I think we do this podcast, it's nice when something resonates, but literally as a human being hearing other human beings talking about their small comforts, it was comforting to me. Mm-hmm. And it really was wonderful. And I'm glad we're going to take a deeper dive into reading, because I know for me, reading has taken on a really outsized significance when it comes to what's actually making me, you know, what's helping me feel better right now. So I feel like there's a lot to talk about that goes beyond just book recommendations.
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, one of the things I wanted to start off mentioning is that I've had a really interesting observation just this year about reading, which is that I've found that, books and mood are like really important. So in January, when I was super stressed out sort of in advance of the inauguration, like, or up till January, you know, my go-to when I needed like to totally escape stress was contemporary romance. it was light, it was funny, you know, I enjoyed it. I mean, the writing was still actually really great for a lot of these books. And then this past month, February, I could not get into those books. And I felt like I needed sort of deeper, kind of more serious literary fiction. I'm not really sure exactly why that was, but I just didn't quite have the patience for sort of light stories. And I discovered that the types of characters I have patience also really depends on my mood. So for example, you know, no knock on, I mean, a lot of people loved Emma Straub's All Adults Here, and I actually read it from start to finish because her writing is just beautiful. But I felt so frustrated with her characters because they kind of had like, I hate to say it this way, but it was real like privileged people problems. and I just found myself super frustrated with the book, but I kept reading it because her writing is just, the way she strings together words is just beautiful. So it was just really interesting to have those observations as a reader.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, it sort of goes to show that for so many of us, there's less, you know, input from the outside world and more going on in our internal world. And so we can notice these things more, you know, this sort of like, you know, how a book can be a bit of a temperature gauge for us as individuals. It's so interesting. I've noticed the same thing. And, you know, it's sort of funny because really started with my reading as a way to fuel my writing. So I started for one reason and I have found other things happening. So that's what I was just wanting to share a little bit because, you know, for me, I love reading, but I've actually had difficulty with reading fiction, honestly, ever since my kids were born. And it's sort of funny to say that because now my oldest is 21 years old. It's been a long time. I had concentration issues with fiction and I was a huge fiction reader before when my kids were, you know, before my kids were born. So I really made this very conscious turn back toward books, like, okay, you know, this really is a new start for me as a writer. And, you know, it's time for me to sort of refill the bucket with words and with voices and with narrative. And so I was sort of thinking along those lines. But the reality is that, you know, because this moment, and as you were saying, that connection between books and moods, this particular moment for me with the pandemic, with the sort of rollout of the vaccines, I find that it's a real emotional roller coaster right now. It's a hard time that we've been in this for, you know, almost a year or more than a year for many of us. And so I have also found that my books have been such a, like, the reading and the stories have been a salve for loneliness and also my desire to travel. I mean, that's another funny thing. It's like that classic thing of being able to be placed in another country or another world or another time. That has been so healing for me. And just, you know, it's just sort of scratched the travel itch in some ways. So I don't know. I'm really surprised by, like, I started it because I thought, okay, like, you know, when you're a writer, you got to read, but there's just so much more going on for me. And I have found that books specifically have just been really grounding, you know, just so grounding in a way that other things haven't been.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know we're going to share very specific recommendations, so, which is great. I hope people will check them out. And I thought it would be a great time to also just quickly share a few external points of inspiration, because I don't know, I just know so many book people. It's kind of awesome. So I'll just quickly run through this list of four people who are on my mind, all wonderful people. One is Amy of Mom Advice, friend to both of us. She is delightful. She does a regular book club. And so I will link it up and it's free, I believe. And she's already rolled out her like 2021 book club picks. So I'll include that link in the show notes. She is a voracious reader, like such a voracious reader, and has such a robust virtual book club that they have like shirts and stuff. So they have merch. anyway, she's just delightful. So I was thinking, like, I would just join the book club just to like hang out online with Amy. I don't know if that's what happens, but anyway, that's a good point of inspiration. Second is Laura Tremaine, who was a wonderful guest on our show, talking about sharing in vulnerability. I'll link up that episode. But she's a podcaster at 10 Things to Tell You. She has a new book out now, but she regularly, actually, I guested on her podcast and we talked specifically about books. So every now and then she'll have specific episodes all about book picks. And our collective, you know, book preferences were so all over the place that it was really, really fun to talk. Third, I wanted to recommend Lucretia Braxton, who also has been a guest on our podcast. And she sprang to mind actually because I know she, actually, I'm not sure exactly how frequently she posts about books, but I know she does. And she is a voracious audiobook consumer. So that's just, I actually have never listened to an audiobook, but I know a lot of people love them. So she talks about audiobooks.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I wanted to recommend her. And then last is our dear friend, talented writer, Reese Witherspoon book pick writer, KJ Dell'Antonia. Her book, The Chicken Sisters, was Reese's book pick in December 2020, which, OMG, that's crazy. But the thing I love that she does, and she reads just a ridiculous amount. I mean, that's the only way you could do what I'm going to tell you. But on Instagram, she'll do a, like, if you liked this book, then you'll like this and this. So you just look for those tiles with, like, you know, two or three book covers on them, because it's kind of amazing the way she has read that much that she can sort of make those kind of predictions. So I just, I like the way all those people kind of present things and have a different take on books.
And, you know, it's, I love hearing how people hear their book inspiration. I think what's also really fun, honestly, about talking about books on social media and the internet is that, you know, you can inadvertently find yourself in conversation with authors. It's just this really, it's actually a very fun thing to do. So I will check that out. And I also have inspiration elsewhere. Although my first inspiration really is my friends. So, you know, like my friends in person, I'm really focusing on friend recommendation. The classic thing when someone says, have you read such and such? Uh-huh. I now pull out my phone and I immediately look it up in my library and I put it on hold. And that has been really, really fun and such a great way to actually deepen my relationships with my friends. Mm-hmm. Because then later on I can say, hey, I got that book. Hey, I read that book. Hey, let's talk about that book. And that is something that translates really, really well to a Zoom conversation and, you know, talking on the phone and going for a walk and all that kind of stuff. So that's really like the number one inspiration for me. But a couple other things have been happening for me. One is that I actually took a class about books. So, here in Portland, there's a wonderful, wonderful organization called Literary Arts. They put on the Portland Book Awards, the Oregon Book Awards, the Portland Book Festival, among other things. And one of the things that they do is they offer classes for writers, but they also have reader seminars. And so I took a reader seminar. I've actually been, you know, meeting in the evenings with a group of really smart folks and talking about some books, and I'll share which books later on. But that has been so much fun. And then a couple folks online I just want to, you know, pass along. The first one is Austin Kleon. He is an author based in Texas. He has written some lovely books about creativity, about art, about all sorts of stuff. And he is a totally voracious reader. He writes about his reading year all the time. And so he's constantly talking about books, making connections between lessons and observations that he makes in his reading. And so I will link up his bookshelf, which he, I think once a week at least, he writes about a book that he's reading. And then the other person who I find so many book recommendations from is Maria Popova of Brain Pickings. So Brain Pickings is just a like gorgeous blog that's been going on for years and years. And if you've never seen it, it is sort of the level to me of Humans of New York. I mean, that's sort of what a masterpiece it is. And she reads books, classics, things that are modern, makes connections, and just a wonderful blog. So I always find good recommendations there.
Oh, so our show notes are going to be very like full of awesome links. That's very, very mm-hmm. cool. mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, we have a ton more to talk about, Asha. We're going to do that after a quick break.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/edit. People often talk about the impact of things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrition on skin, but did you know those things impact your hair too? If you've been dealing with hair thinning, you are not alone, and Nutrafol is here to help. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. I appreciate that they offer formulas tailored to different life stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Edit Your Life listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code EDIT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use promo code EDIT. That's Nutrafol.com using promo code EDIT.
Okay, friends, we are back and we are talking about books and, you know, books that have moved us and, you know, been self-care for us in many different ways or many other things. I don't know. And I wanted to start with the first book that I read this year, which was Transcendent Kingdom by Yog Yasi. Wow. That was basically like the craziest way to start the year. She's so talented. For people who might not recall, she, Homegoing, I believe, was her debut novel, I think 2016, which I consider essential reading. Incredible book. But this book, Transcendent Kingdom, it was incredible. It just wove together threads of like family loss and discord, you know, faith, science. I mean, her writing is just beautiful, but I also, the central character, Gifty, is a scientist. So given my like former life as a neuroscientist, I like really appreciated the way, you know, the description of the lab and, you know, her work with mice and sort of, I don't know, finding sometimes refuge and also hiding a little bit when needed in the lab. It just really rang true on a number of levels. So I really recommend both of those books, Transcendent Kingdom and then her other title, Homegoing, because both of those books truly moved me to the core.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've many friends I know have read her books and absolutely love them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, you know, it's so interesting. In my reading year really kicked off with a pile of books. And I realize now that they just completely span genres and time frames, you know, nonfiction, fiction, and all of that stuff. So I am going to kick off with a book that I actually heard about from the On Being podcast. And that is the book Wintering by Catherine May. Have I talked to you about Wintering, Christine?
I have not read it. No.
Oh, okay. It was one of those moments where somebody does a reading from the book. I think the author herself read, you know, a passage from the book, and I was so totally like it just seized me, and it resonated in such a deep way that I was like, I have got to, I didn't even put it on hold. I ordered it from Powell's and, you know, said, I'm going to read that immediately. Mm. So Wintering is all about on the surface, it's a very simple idea that basically, you know, in life we go through quiet down, times, and, the author is really embracing us to, the author is really encouraging us to embrace those times as a natural part of the life cycle, that those wintering times where things are low and maybe things are even sad are a time of regeneration. And, you know, that sounds like it could be sort of a basic, that's a pretty basic metaphor, but the way that she writes about it, I find, is so grounding and so appropriate for this moment in the pandemic. I just felt like it was an incredible book. It's humane, it's comforting, and it just, I don't know, it like opened me up to all my other reading this year. So Wintering by Catherine May, I absolutely love it.
And how cool that, you know, you, or I don't know if it's meta or what it is, but that you discovered it on a podcast and you read it and what. We're talking about books on podcasts anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It podcasts seems very circular.
Podcasts are, you know, the connection between podcasts and books seems like a natural one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, my next recommendation is a book called Ask Again, Yes by Mary Beth Keane. And I actually read this once I started reading this book. It was clear to me why I was sort of like bugged out when I was reading All Adults Here, which again, beautiful writing, but the characters just like, they were really bugging me. Anyway, Mary Beth Keane and Emma Straub are actually very similar in just the way they string the words together. It's very lyrical. It's very beautiful. So that those two were similar. But in Ask Again, Yes, there is an enormously painful struggle to be wrestled with two next door neighbor families whose lives become very entwined on several levels, including like an act of violence. So, and it carries through, like the impact of that event just carries through for many years. So I was just captivated by these characters and really rooting for them, despite knowing that obviously life does not tie off and everything is not perfect. But it that book just took my breath away. It was, and I was, I did the thing where when I really get into a book, I actually kind of imagine different people playing the characters. And so that was kind of happening in my head and like playing them as in a movie. So it was just beautiful, kind of harrowing, but beautiful.
You know, and that just, you know, that sort of speaks a little bit to something that I was trying to get at earlier, which is that reading really can be this, the salve for loneliness. You know, it's like you invite these other people into your life for a while. And, you know, again, like all of these things seem like such basic things about reading. But right now, I don't know, it just jumps out at me, maybe because we're just living this strange pandemic life where all the balances are off. It's so interesting. All right. Well, I want to share. So earlier I mentioned that I was part of a reader seminar through Literary Arts here in Portland. And the books that we read for this reader seminar, two of them, we basically compared and contrasted them. The first one, two science fiction books, the first one called Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler. The second one, The Dispossessed by Ursula K. Le Guin. Now, like science fiction, I mean, I'm a science fiction lover, but I haven't read science fiction in years. And I signed up for this course because in some ways it's about, you know, it's about social commentary. It's connected to our political, you know, present. You know, it was basically using these imagined worlds to talk about what's happening currently in our lives. And so that was like, you know, on the surface of it, the focus of this seminar. But I gotta say, it was such an amazing experience to be immersed in different worlds again. And these are two really incredible, well-respected writers. I mean, like giants in their fields. And so, you know, they created worlds in turmoil. One is actually Earth, but in, you know, at a later stage of the climate crisis that we're experiencing. And the other one, these are fictional planets, but one had an anarchist society and one had sort of an exaggerated capitalist state. Now, this sounds like a major downer, and it kind of was a major downer in some ways, but it also, I mean, in the way that stories can be, it was also unbelievably entertaining and helps you understand what's going on in your own world because of your imagination, as opposed to just reading the news. And so it was. The reason I'm bringing up these two books is, first of all, they're amazing books. But second of all, I got to discuss them with a group of people. And that experience was so much fun. And so, I mean, I sort of feel like, you know, unlike a usual class where I would probably like be asking some folks for coffee, you know, that's not necessarily going to happen. But it was just really part of my reading experience that I haven't experienced in a long time. So it was sort of like English 101 light. And it was really fun to stretch my literary muscles and, you know, just sort of be in proximity to other smart people. So two unbelievable books. I would, especially The Dispossessed, is just completely captivating me right now.
Awesome. Awesome. And we're going to link all of these books up in our show notes for easy access, y'all. Okay. Well, the name of the author of my next book is a good one. I said that I've been reading like really heavy literary fiction this month or, you know, this year. And my next recommendation is called 50 Words for Rain by Asha Lemmy.
I get very excited when anyone else is named Asha.
Oh, is it not a common name? I feel like
it is a common name. This is the thing. It is a totally common name in not just, you know, in multiple languages, by the way.
Okay.
But anyway, I just continue. I will stop interrupting you.
Anyway. Oh, wow. I think actually this book was recommended to me by somebody via Instagram when I was, because I post about books there and somebody recommended it. It's a doozy. And it is set in Japan mostly, and was just a, or is rather, a beautifully written, very painful story of family duty. Like, this certainly resonated with me, especially as an Asian person, of belonging, you know, strength, impossible choices, like really just truly impossible choices. And there were also definitely a couple of plot elements that came along where I was like, you know, when you're reading and you're like, whoa, that just happened. So that's kind of always fun when, you know, the author basically tricks me and I don't see something coming. So, you know, again, this is, it's heavy, but wow, it was really, really good. And I also just always, you know, I mentioned, obviously I'm Asian, but this is set in Japan and I'm always interested in stories from other cultures. So yeah, this, it was great.
Sounds good. Now, yes. I mean, already my hold list at the library is extending.
Oh, I put like 20 books on hold the other day. It was just really bad. I mean, good, but bad. Okay, yeah. Well, we have a couple more recommendations to make, and we will do that after a quick break.
As you know, I am all about micro-improvements, and if you'd like to dedicate a little time each day to learn a language, I have a great solution for you. Babbel is a science-backed language learning app that offers 10-minute language lessons designed to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Materials are rooted in real-life situations, so you can learn important basics such as ordering food and asking for directions. Babbel offers personalized learning content, real-time feedback, tracking, and visualizations, and their speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. No matter what level you are looking for, casual, intense, or something in between, you can enjoy app lessons, podcasts, and live classes from the comfort of your home on your schedule. Here's a special limited-time deal for Edit Your Life listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. This is only for Edit Your Life listeners at babbel.com/edit. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/edit. That's spelled babbel.com/edit. Rules and restrictions may apply. Especially in this digital age, since we're well beyond handwritten journals and letters to convey history, the preservation of stories is so important, especially from the moms and mom figures in our lives. And if you've been looking for a way to collect those stories but aren't sure how to start, I have a recommendation for you. Storyworth makes it easy. Every week, they email a loved one of your choosing a question prompt that you pick. For example, what advice would you give your 20-year-old self? And what aspects of having children didn't turn out the way you expected? Your loved one responds to that email with a story of any length. You will receive copies of these emails as they are submitted. And after 1 year, Storyworth compiles the stories and any photos provided into a keepsake book. A friend recently shared how moving it was that her mom gifted copies of her Storyworth album to immediate family members, a genius idea for expanding the preservation and sharing of those stories to people in different households and generations. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/edit. That's storyworth.com/edit to save $10 on your first purchase.
All right, friends, we are back with some more book recommendations. And, you know, we just shared a couple of books that were maybe on the heavy side. And I've got one that is really light and wonderful. Reading for Fun. What a concept. And that is the book that I'm actually reading right now called The Widows of Malabar Hill by Sujata Massey. This is one of those friend recommendations. This is actually a light mystery. It takes place in 1920s Bombay. Mumbai was called Bombay way back when. And so this is the kind of book that I wouldn't usually pick up just because I don't usually read mysteries, not for any other reason than I just don't usually read mysteries. And one thing that I'm really trying to do is just, you know, like I said, I just want to sort of say yes to my friend's recommendations and dive in, whatever the category is. And this book is so much fun. I think especially for me, because it takes place in India and I am very much missing India and very much wishing I can go and feeling separated from India. And, you know, it's inaccessible to me right now. Half of my family's there. And so, you know, that obviously is there for me. But there is something more which is really interesting, which is that this is at a different time. You know, this takes place in 1920s India when it was still under British colonial rule. And so the landscape is a completely different landscape than I've experienced when I've gone there. And so that is really fun and just eye-opening in a way that, you know, a contemporary book wouldn't be. I think something else that's really fun and personal is that, I mean, I actually know somebody who lives on Malabar Hill in Mumbai.
Oh, crazy.
And so it's, so I'm familiar, I'm not super familiar with the location, but I am somewhat familiar. I have been there. And so that's also really fun to think about, you know, 1920s. I mean, my dad was born in 1933. So this is before my dad was born. So this is, you know, it's fun for me to actually think in those personal terms. So I, you know, just want to remind you that sometimes like straying outside your usual, usual genres is a really fun, it just feels like an adventure. And it's a fun way to re-spark your, you know, just your connection to reading and like widen your list of things that you can possibly enjoy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. I'm a big fan of experimenting with genre. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, my last recommendation in the episode continues on the heavy train. That was just this month for me, I guess. So it is American Dirt by Janine Cummins. And I had heard, I just seen the cover, which has like very pretty blue kind of artwork, like Mexican tile artwork on the front. I had just seen this book circulating quite a bit. I think actually a friend recommended it in this book roundup I did last year called like books worth reading during a pandemic, like books that were cutting through the noise and fog and fatigue. And when it became available on library holds, I immediately snapped it up because I didn't have any paper books at my disposal. And about halfway through, I was like, huh, because the author's name is Janine Cummins. It's a story about centered on the Mexican immigrant experience. And so I was like, I just was kind of like, is this author, you know, from Mexico? And so it was really interesting. Well, first, this is a wonderfully written, gut-wrenching story that is basically starts with like a family massive tragedy that forces a mom and son to, you know, leave their life and try to migrate to America. But anyway, so I sort of Googled Janine Cummins and wow, like can of controversial worms opened. I guess like apparently the book was lauded by tons of people, but also there was a lot of pushback from people about the portrayal of the experience and saying that it was kind of fear mongering. So it was just very interesting. But I will say, you know, I obviously do not have personal experience to say how on or off track Cummins' portrayal is, but I will say that the story was just gripping from start to finish. And I was, you know, just rooting for Lydia and Luca, the main characters, to make it to the other side. I finished it in like 2 days. It was one of those kinds of books.
Well, it's so, you know, you remind me that my favorite thing to do after I watch a movie and after I read a book is to, you know, do some Googling because I love reading reviews and I love hearing what other people have to say about it. And that's just really interesting that, you know, you sort of, you know, you immerse yourself in the story and then you find there's obviously, you know, the story behind the story. And I feel like that's part of what is so wonderful about books is that it doesn't just lead us to, you know, the next book. It leads us to the author. It leads us to the issues. And I'm really interested to learn more about that.
Yeah, really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, Asha, this has been really fun. And what I love is that I've not read any of your book recommendations. So now I can add some more fodder to my list. But I would love to hear what your next edit is for this episode.
All right. My next edit is to read the next book someone recommends to you. It could be us or it could be a friend of yours, you know, in the neighborhood. But my recommendation is to just do it. Someone says, oh, my gosh, have you read a book? Just read it. Even if you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'm not usually a reader of, say, mystery or science fiction or whatever. Introduce a little chance into your reading life, because I don't know, this is a moment to do it. You can always quit reading if you don't like the book, but the upside is that you may discover a whole new, you know, world of reading that you just never would have strayed into otherwise. I am having a blast doing that.
That's awesome. And I will say, you know, for the experimentation side, that just in the last like 6 months, I decided to give myself the space that if I was really struggling and not feeling it with a book, if I made it to like page 50 and was not feeling, I gave myself the permission to abort the mission and start a different book, because I didn't want to like drag myself through something I wasn't enjoying. And so that that has really helped. And that's why especially library holds have been amazing, because you can experiment and it's really, really wonderful. Okay. My Your Next Edit is real simple, and it is to share about a great book you've read on social media or word of mouth in any way you can. I feel so incredibly grateful for authors, and they need our support right now. You know, obviously everything has been so topsy-turvy with the publishing industry, given the pandemic. And so I just feel so strongly about supporting the work of writers. So yeah, that's it. That's really simple.
Hear, hear. Plus it's so fun to read about people's book recommendations. So definitely this is a great recommendation. Like, chat up your authors and, you know, cheer about them. You'll make their day. Speaking as an author, I can tell you, you will make their day. So, all right, friends. Okay, the show notes are just going to be golden this week. So I think you should definitely check out the show notes. As always, you'll find the show notes for this episodes, including links to all the books we've mentioned and the various recommendation inspirations that we go to. You'll find them at edityourlifeshow.com. We'll also link up great related episodes because we've talked about a lot of books on this podcast.
Yeah, we sure have. And this week, we'd like to know, we're going to make my Your Next Edit way easy for you. We want to crowdsource a list. What's a great book you have read lately? Hop over to facebook.com/edityourlifeshow and look for the question of the week pinned to the top of the page. Or you can chat with us on Instagram at edityourlifeshow. We'd also be so grateful if you're enjoying our show. Please drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.